And now to a different kind of school success story. It comes from the pages of the Washington Post magazine, which we open just about every week to find interesting stories about the way we live now. This week's edition features a series of stories about visionaries in education. One of them is Marie Shields Juaty. She took the helm of Wakefield High School in 1987. At the time, the Arlington, Virginia High School was in a state of disorder. Test scores were below average, morale was down, and the teachers were frankly not equipped to deal with the ever-growing population of immigrants. Students. The first woman to lead a high school in Arlington, which is a suburb of Washington, D.C., Juaty turned Wakefield around, boosting test scores, morale, and expectations for students before she retired, and I put that in quotes, in 2002. The transformation, which continued under Juaty's successor, so impressed President Obama that he chose Wakefield as a location for a major education speech last September. Now she's taking her recipe for success to other struggling schools, and she's profiled in this week's Washington Post magazine by education columnist Jay Matthews, and Marie Shields Juaty joins us now in our Washington, D.C. studio. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
It's a delight to be here.
Now, as we mentioned, you retired from Wakefield in 2002, but one of your colleagues calls it a failed retirement. You're still engaged as an advisor, but if you could, would you just try to take us back to 1987 when you first started walking the halls at Wakefield? What did you see there?
It was a surprise. As the article indicates, I came on in May, so that gave me a month before the end of the school year, and my first surprise was the last day of school when all students routinely emptied all the paper and all the books in their locker and threw it all into the main hall. And we were left with mounds of books and papers, and I thought to myself, wow, this is really a sign of disrespect, I felt. Disrespect not only for school as an institution, not only perhaps for us as adults who are working to create a really good education for our students, but most importantly, a sign of disrespect for each individual student. And that's kind of a preliminary picture of what I adopted as my first goal, and that is really respect.
You started your career as a nun.
I did.
A path that you left years before you, or you transitioned from, I don't know if you ever really leave, before you came to Wakefield. But I think that one of the reasons that's intriguing is that many people will see that experience as completely different from the experience than one would have as a public school educator, because as a nun, it's a chosen path, it's a calling, one gives one's all, it's selective, and the people you're teaching are there apparently by choice, evidently, and yet as a public school educator, you're tasked with all comers. And so I think the question one would have is, was there something in your earlier life that prepared you for your later life?
Actually, my education did not prepare me for my later life. I was educated for 22 years in private schools. So that clearly was a difference from when I arrived at, well, Wakefield and the Arlington Public Schools. But my life as a nun really was a preparation for my work in my ardent devotion to public school education. In the sense of education as mission, and I think it really helped to form for me what continues today, and that is a dedication particularly to serve students and a student population that may in many cases be underserved.
Well, what's the secret? Let's just straighten this thing out right here.
The secret is many, but most importantly, I think high expectations, number one. Number two, finding a way with your faculty, with your teachers, finding a way to give every single individual student a taste of success. Because I believe that once any child tastes success, once they've gotten their arms around what it feels like to be successful in school, that will begin a self-motivation process with youngsters. And indeed, I think that we did find that at Wakefield, and I see that now.
One of the debates, the ongoing debates in education is what's most important, what's going on at school or what's going on at home. And you see this playing out just about every day in the newspapers, letters to the editor, that there are people who said, look, if teachers just work hard enough and do their best and educators all pull together, kids will succeed. And other people will always say, well, gee, if you've got kids coming from war zones, you get kids who don't have enough to eat. How do you expect teachers to win? And as a person who's led school systems with kids from all over the world dealing with all kinds of situations. What's your take on that?
I guess my philosophy has always been, and this philosophy I articulated to my faculty when I first came to Wakefield, my philosophy is that we take our youngsters where they are. We don't look to family background. We don't look to socioeconomic, sociocultural influences and background. We have them for what? 7 hours a day. We do everything we can right there in those walls during that time to engender success and to teach and promote excellence. And my experience has been that it happens.
Why is that, though, that we continue to meet people like yourself, stars? I mean, people who just still have stars in their eyes. I mean, you're still excited. I see you come in here. You're still excited. You're still, you know, thinking about the next lesson plan. I can tell. And yet, the overall narrative around public school education in particular is, what a mess. And I'm having a hard time reconciling those two distinct realities.
Michelle, I'm really the wrong person to ask about that because I do not understand it. Here's what I see. Since I retired, I've had the wonderful opportunity to work in several high schools and now two elementary schools who are working very hard to meet the requirements for No Child Left Behind, AYP, annual yearly progress requirements. And it's a significant challenge, particularly the schools where I work. We have many students who are not native English speakers, so that in itself is a challenge. And yet, everywhere I go, I see jewels of teachers, jewels of curricula, jewels of principals and administrators. And what I think the secret is, one of the secrets to unlocking that power is the support, which I was spoiled by having, of a superintendent and a school board who will say to themselves and to you as the principal, new principal, you know what? We will do everything to support you. As indeed they did for me, and as indeed I try to do for the schools I work with.
Do you envision, finally, in the minute and a half we have left, do you ever envision a time when, if you and I were to get together, we will not be having a conversation about the challenges facing particularly urban schools and schools that serve disadvantaged
students? Honestly,
no?
I don't. I think I foresee the time when we will be able to sit down and say, you know what, that's not such a powerful discussion anymore. But I think we'll always have the challenge because we're always serving new populations and they bring new challenges.
Well, get back to work. We've taken enough of your time. What's today's challenge? What are you working on today?
Today is working with my two elementary schools, again, on curricula and English language arts and mathematics.
All right. Well, let's get to it. Marie Shields Juwadi is the former principal of the nationally renowned Wakefield High School in Arlington, Virginia. She was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. Thank you so much for joining us.
A pleasure.
And if you want to read the full profile of Marie Shields Juwadi from this week's Washington Post magazine, you can find a link on our website. Just go to the program page of npr.org and select Tell Me More. The piece is entitled The Fixer.